Hare Krishna. We are celebrating continuing to celebrate the auspicious appearance of Lord Nrisimha in the material world. Well, he's always everywhere, but he manifested himself on this auspicious date. And we shall continue to read from Prahlad's prayers to Nrisimhadev, from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 18. Today we shall read text 9. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Svasti astu Vishvasya Kala Prasidatam Dhyayantu Bhutani Shivam Mita Diya Manaha Cha Badram Bhajatat Adhokshaje Aveshyatam Na Mati Api Ahaituki Swasti Yastu Vishvasya Kala Prasidatam Dhyayantu Bhutani Shivam Nito Diya Manascha Badram Bhajatad Adhokshaje Aveshyatam no matirapya haituki. Swastyastu Vishvasya Kala Prasidatam. Jayantu Bhutani Shivam Mito Diya. Manascha Badram Bhajatad Adhokshaje Aveshyatam no Matirapya Haituki Swastyastu Vishvasya Kala Prasidatam Jayantu Bhutani Shivam Mito Diya Manascha Badram Bhajatad Adhokshaje Aveshyatam No Matirapya Haituki Vasa Kala Prasidatam Jayantu Bhutani Shivam Mito Diya Manascha Badram Bhajatad Adhokshaje Aveshyatam No Matirapya Haituki. Asasti Vishwasa Kalaprasi. Jayantu Bhutani Shivam Mito Diya. Manaschabhadram Bhajata Dadhoksha Jay. Aveshyatam no matirapya haituki. Suvishvasya kala prasidatam. Dhyayantu bhutani shivam mito diya. Manascha badram bhajata dadhoksa jay. Aveshyatam no matirapya haituki. Vastastu vishvasya kala prasidatam. Jayantu bhutani shivam mito diya. Manascha badram bhajata dadhoksa jay. Aveshyatam no matirapya haituki. Vaishnavis. Sastu vishvasya kala prasidatam. Jayantu bhutani shivam mito diya. Manascha badram bhajata dadhoksa jay. Aveshyato madnatirathaistuki. Tuvishvasya kala prasidatam. Jayantu bhutani shivam mito diya. Manascha badram bhajata dadhoksha jay. Aveshyatam nao matirapya haituki. Swasti. Auspiciousness. Astu. Let there be. Vishvasya. Of the entire universe. Kala. The envious. Almost everyone. Prasidatam. Let them be pacified. Dhyayantu. Let them consider. Bhutani. All the living entities. Shivam. Auspiciousness. Mita, mutual. Dia, by their intelligence. Manaha, the mind. Cha, and. Badram, calmness. Bhajatat, let it experience. Adhoksha jay, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the perception of mind, intelligence, and senses. Aveshyatam, let it be absorbed. Na, our. Mati, intelligence. Api, indeed. Ahaituki, without any motive. Translation. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Please repeat. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The following verse describes a Vaishnava. Vanchakalpa turubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Just like a desire tree, a Vaishnav can fulfill all the desires of anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnav. He prays not for himself, but for all living entities, the gentle, the envious, and the mischievous. He always thought of the welfare of mischievous persons like his father, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not ask for anything for himself. Rather, he prayed for the Lord to excuse his demoniac father. This is the attitude of a Vaishnav, who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavat Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy. Parama Nirmat Saranam. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays in this verse, Kala Prasidatam. May all the envious persons be pacified. The material world is full of envious persons. But if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Manas chabhadram bhajatad adhokshaje. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nrisimhadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray, Bahir Nrisimho, Hridaye Nrisimha. Let Lord Nrisimhadev sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean, so that I may peacefully worship the Lord, and bring peace to the entire world. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given us a very fine purport in this regard. Whenever one offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests some benediction from him. Even pure, nishkam devotees pray for some benediction. As instructed by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastika, Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patita mam vishame bhavam budo kripaya tava pada pankaja stiti dulisadrisham vichintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servitor. Yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from the ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. In another prayer, Lord Chaitanya says, Mama janmani janmanishware bhavatad bhaktir ahituki twayi. Life after life, kindly let me have unalloyed love and devotion at your lordship's lotus feet. When Prahlad Maharaj chants, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya, he prays for a benediction from the Lord. But because he is also an exalted Vaishnav, he wants nothing for his personal sense gratification. The first desire expressed in his prayer is Svasti Astu Vishvasya. Let there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. Prahlad Maharaj thus requests the Lord to be merciful to everyone, including his father, a most envious person. According to Chanakya Pandit, there are two kinds of envious living entities. One is a snake, and the other is the man like Hiranyakashipu, who is by nature envious of everyone, even of his father or son. Hiranyakashipu was envious of his little son Prahlad. But Prahlad Maharaj asked a benediction for the benefit of his father. Hiranyakashipu was very envious of devotees. But Prahlad wished that his father and other demons like him would give up their envious nature by the grace of the Lord and stop harassing the devotees. Kala prasidatam. The difficulty is that the Kala, envious living entity, is rarely pacified. One kind of Kala, the snake, can be pacified simply by mantras or by the action of a particular herb, mantroshadi vasha sarpa kalakena nirvaryate. An envious person, however, cannot be pacified by any means. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that all envious persons may undergo a change of heart and think of the welfare of others. If the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, and if by the grace of Krishna everyone accepts it, The thinking of envious people will change. Everyone will think of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays, Shivam Mito Diya. In material activities, everyone is envious of others. But in Krishna consciousness, no one is envious of anyone else. Everyone thinks of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that everyone's mind may become gentle by being fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. Vajitad Adhokshaje. As indicated elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo, and as advised by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, 1865, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakta, one should constantly think of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Then one's mind will certainly be cleansed, Chaito Darpana Marjanam. Materialists always think of sense gratification. But Prahlad Maharaj prays that the Lord's mercy will change their minds and they will stop thinking of sense gratification. If they think of Krishna always, everything will be all right. Some people argue that if everyone thought of Krishna in that way, the whole universe would be vacated because everyone will go back home, back to Godhead. However, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this is impossible, because the living entities are innumerable. If one set of living entities is actually delivered by the Krishna consciousness movement, another set will fill the entire universe. Translation again. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Prahlad Maharaj is one of the Mahajans, one of our Acharyas. In the verse we read yesterday, he prayed that the Lord would appear in his heart and destroy all the demonic propensities within him. And now he is praying to the Lord to pacify all envious persons and spread good fortune throughout the universe. As devotees, we have two tasks. Internally, we work to purify our own hearts, and externally, we work to purify the hearts of others. But by Srila Prabhupada's grace, as the representative of the Panchatattva, both of these businesses can be achieved by the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement through the performance of Sankirtan. Otherwise, it is very difficult. Very difficult. We come into the material world envious of Krishna. Our very existence in the material world is based on envy. And it's very difficult to become free from it. In fact, when we do become free from it, we're liberated. Because only a completely pure devotee can be completely free from envy. It is said of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Dira Dira Jana Priya Priya Karo Nirmatsaro Pujito. They were dear both to the gentle and the ruffians. Dira is sometimes translated as gentle or sober. Dhiras tatra namuyate. That one who knows that he is not the body, that despite the various changes of the body, the soul remains. He is dhira. He is a sober person. And those who identify with the body and are always disturbed by the changing conditions of the body in life and death is adhira, ruffian. But the six Goswamis were dear to both, dira, dira, janapriya, priyakaro. Why? Nirmatsaro, because they were not envious. Actually, in Kazakhstan, last Janmashtami time, His Holiness Niranjan Swami gave a series of talks on Vaishnav compassion. And he made a very nice point that if we see someone exhibiting bad qualities, exhibiting lower tendencies, we should think that person has been deprived of the mercy of a Vaishnava. That's the reason he's like that. He's been deprived of the mercy of a Vaishnava. If some Vaishnava can be merciful to him or her, then he can change. So we don't blame others for their condition. Everyone in the material world is conditioned. But we should think that, this person is in want of the mercy of a Vaishnava. And am I that person? Of course, no Vaishnava will think that he's a Vaishnava, but am I that person who's a servant of a Vaishnava, trying to be a servant of a Vaishnava, to give that person some of my master's mercy, some of the mercy that I've received from my master? So then it's not a question of the other person, what's wrong with him. It's a question of me. How fit of a servant am I, of my merciful master, my spiritual master, our parampara, to extend that mercy to a needy person? And that should be our meditation. Our intelligence, as Prahlad prays, our intelligence should be absorbed in the Lord. The Lord means the Lord, his form, beautiful form, qualities, affectionate qualities, pastimes, wonderful pastimes, everything about the Lord. And for us in Kali Yuga, we are fortunate to be under the protection and guidance of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, most merciful of all incarnations. Sabha Avatar Sarasiro Mani. So, being absorbed in them means, yes, they are also beautiful, they are also filled with wonderful transcendental qualities, but especially it means their mood of compassion. Well, internally, they were relishing Krishna consciousness, tasting Krishna consciousness, and externally, they were spreading Krishna consciousness. So we need to do both. We need to do both. A few weekends ago, I visited the Bay Area, and was fortunate to spend some time with Vaisheshika Prabhu. And he told me about a book that he has been commissioned to write about books, about Srila Prabhupada's books, book distribution. And he was describing the different parts of the book and different themes within the book. And he was saying the first principle is good sadhana, strong sadhana. And he said that our sankirtan, our book distribution, our missionary activities performed for the welfare of the world is the overflow of the ecstasy we feel from our sadhana. And spending the night with him and going through his morning program with him, I could see how much he was relishing his worship. And just being with him, you got drawn into that ecstatic worship and recitation of prayers and mantras and everything, up to and including relishing prasad. So we can go out, meet people, talk to them about Krishna, distribute books, with a somewhat empty heart, and we can get some mercy, distribute some mercy. But if our hearts are filled with Krishna consciousness with the nectar of devotion, then we'll be filled with enthusiasm and conviction and personal realization, and then we will we'll communicate or convey that enthusiasm to others. Yesterday was very enlightening and enlivening hearing about Jayananda Prabhu, how enthusiastic he was to engage others, and how just based on him and his enthusiasm, so many people were inspired to render service. Dira dira jana priyo, priya karo. He was really dear to the gentle and to the ruffians. Throughout the day, different devotees were sharing different remembrances and realizations about Jayananda Prabhu. And people were just drawn to him because he was just so humble. Just so humble. And, even though they had bad habits, they might be drunk, or we heard the story of how they were trying to lift, what were they trying to lift onto the refrigerator? Yeah, and there were two of them, and it was like a real struggle, and then there were two drunks who came along, and Jayananda got them to help, and then that difficult task that was so hard for two people became easy for the four. And people who were smoking, they would come and help. And even though they had some bad habits, but by Jayananda Prabhu's enthusiasm and genuine care and love and affection, they would work really hard, 12 hours, 14 hours a day. They'd take their breaks and smoke cigarettes, but they worked hard. They got mercy for that, no doubt. So that's that. He was just so eager to engage them. He knew how much they would benefit, and he was eager to serve the Lord. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did the same thing, or in a way we could say went a step further. When he was building the temple in Alarnath, near Jagannath Puri, he was so eager for the construction work to be done that he personally rolled the beedis, the sort of crude Indian cigarettes, because he didn't want the workers to have to interrupt their work to roll their own beedis. So he rolled their beedis for them. He was so eager to serve the Lord. So these activities might seem a bit unusual for people who want to be very proper Brahmins or devotees. But we're talking about something that goes beyond, way beyond just, following all the rules and regulations. Of course, devotees are strict, no doubt. They're strict with themselves, especially in terms of the basic principles of Krishna consciousness. But in terms of some of the details, for the sake of a higher purpose, they may be a little lax. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his commentaries on the verses in the 11th canto about Kanista, Madhyam, and Uttama Vaishnavas, says that the Madhyam Vaishnav, yes, he's very strict when it comes to the basic principles of chanting and hearing and personal conduct. But he may be a little lax when it comes to some of the details of worship and ritual. And people who are very preoccupied with these details of worship and ritual may find fault with such a Vaishnava, a more advanced Vaishnava. But actually, they are they're judging the more advanced Vaishnava from a lower platform. And in the seventh canto, in Narada's instructions, yes, he says that if one worships the deity very nicely but does not respect the preachers of Krishna consciousness, his very proper worship will not bring the desired result. But of course, in Krishna consciousness, in the mood of service to the devotees in the Sankirtan movement, the deity worship is an integral part of the program. I always think of the early days of the Los Angeles temple. Devotees would go out on Harinam Sankirtan and distribute magazines, and their whole focus was to bring people back to the temple, to the deities. And the pujaris, their whole focus was to dress and decorate the deities very nicely, to enliven the Sankirtan devotees so that they would be inspired in their service. It was a very nice reciprocation. And that's also mentioned in this verse, thinking of the welfare of others. Generally, conditioned souls think of themselves. And neophyte devotees are still basically conditioned souls, but they're trying to become Vaishnavas. So they tend to think of themselves. But more advanced devotees, or proper servants of more advanced devotees, they are in the mood of thinking of the welfare of others. Bhagjayananda Prabhu, my mind keeps going back to him. He was like the older brother, really, taking care of all the other devotees who came to him. Not only devotees, I mean, anyone. Anyone who came. And he worked so hard, you know, and so selflessly, you know, as we heard yesterday, that anyone else who fell asleep during class, they would be woken up. Because you can't sleep during class. It's offensive. It's Srimad Bhagavatam, it's Krishna himself. So you're sleeping. It's offensive. So you always wake up, wake up, wake up. Can't sleep. But with Jayananda Prabhu, although he worked so hard, as we heard, he stayed up later than anyone else, got up earlier than everyone else. Sometimes he would fall asleep in class, but when the devotees would move to wake him up, Prabhupada would say, no, let him sleep. So, because Prabhupada knew he was giving everything he had, every ounce of energy he had in service. And he needed a little rest. So, so this idea of nishkam bhakti, kam means desire, nishkam means without desire. It was very interesting that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says even nishkam devotees, pure devotees, they also pray for some benediction from the Lord. But because they're pure devotees, they don't pray for sense gratification. And they don't pray only for their personal spiritual advancement, but they pray for the welfare of others, even the envious, like Prahlad prayed for the welfare of his demonic father who tried to kill him. When Nrisimhadeva asked him to accept some benediction, he didn't want to take any benediction from the Lord. But when the Lord insisted, then Prahlad said, well, all right, then please excuse my father. Please purify my father. So this is a step beyond forgiveness. Forgiveness is a very important factor in devotional service. In fact, it's said that different species are beautified by different qualities, different varnas. Are beautified by different qualities. And the quality that defines and beautifies a Brahmin is forgiveness. And this is a very a big topic because we have all been hurt or encroached upon or offended by others, including by other devotees. So we may have some bitterness, some resentment, some anger, but we have to let it go, both for our own sakes and for the sakes of the people who have hurt us. It's very damaging for us to hold on to those types of feelings. Once many years ago, I was sick, so some sort of respiratory ailment in South Africa, and I went to an Ayurvedic physician who had a meditation room outside the regular waiting area. There was a meditation room, and then there was his office. So I went into the meditation room, and there was some music playing, I guess some sort of spiritual music, playing some ragas. And somehow when I was sitting in that room, I started thinking about a devotee who had really hurt me, and not just emotionally, but he had really done something which, according to my information, he was the one who did it, something that really hampered my devotional service. It really hampered my devotional service, and I was just filled with so much. So very serious thoughts about him, sort of like grieving the wrongdoing that he had done. And, with these thoughts very prominent in my mind, the receptionist came in and told me the doctor was calling for me. So, he did his, whatever, felt my pulse, did his examination. And then he said, are you carrying any resentment towards anyone? I said, well, it's funny you should ask. Because I was sitting in the meditation room for 10 or 15 minutes before you called me, and I was having very deep, heavy, ponderous thoughts about someone who had wronged me. He said, yes, well, the music has that effect. It brings things up. And then he said, harboring these feelings against the other person will not do anything to the other person, but it will hurt you. You're not hurting the other person by having these thoughts about him, but you're hurting yourself, and it's being manifested in your respiratory ailment. It basically convinced me that you're not hurting him, you're just hurting yourself, so you better just let it go. And somehow it did have that effect. I was at a very nice talk with our godbrother Sridhar Swami when he visited me while he was still with us, and about forgiveness. And he was saying, you have to forgive others, you have to forgive everyone without condition. Because previously I'd had a talk with another godbrother, and I told him that I'd had this very sort of feeling of universal forgiveness come over me. And it just extended everywhere, just forgiving everyone. Just a universal sense of forgiveness. And then I was thinking about different people who, I felt had hurt me or wronged me over the years. Forgiving, 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 until I got to one. I just didn't have it in me to forgive that one person. So I consulted this other god brother, well, he's also an exalted Vaishnava, Tamal Krishna Goswami. So I consulted him, and he said, well, you shouldn't forgive him because his wrongdoings are still going on. So it's sort of natural that you're not forgiving him because his wrongdoings are still going on. So anyway, I had then Sridhar Swami came to visit, and I had the same discussion with him, and he said, no. You have to forgive everyone, no conditions attached, whether they're whatever they're doing now, it doesn't matter. You have to forgive them. And he said, and I think it's sort of a paraphrase of a biblical quotation, that if you do not forgive others, how can you expect God to forgive you? You know, we all want God to forgive us, like Nityananda Prabhu forgave Jagai and Madhai. We want the Lord to forgive us. We need to be forgiven. But if we're not ready to forgive others, how can we expect the Lord to forgive us? So this is a very, it's necessary. It's necessary. It's part of this process of cleansing the heart and thinking of the welfare of others. I mean, whatever devotees have done to hurt us or offend us, it doesn't compare to what Hiranyakasipu did to Prahlad. I mean, he tried to kill him. I mean, torture him, kill him. I mean, whatever little mishaps we have are nothing compared to what Hiranyakasipu tried to do to Prahlad. You know, so someone steps on our toe, it's like, oh, he stepped on my toe. I will never forgive him. But Hiranyakasipu, I mean, of course, there's so much we could say about the pastimes of Hiranyakasipu and Prahlad and Lord Nrisimhadeva, but he really very seriously tortured him and tried to kill him again and again in so many different ways. But even then, Prahlad's mood was not just forgive him, but prayed to the Lord, purify him, purify him. And in this verse too, he's praying, let all envious persons be pacified so they can think of the welfare of others. So it's can be a long process, it can be a difficult process, but we just persevere, and eventually, you know, that combination of our own efforts and the Lord's mercy will prevail. You know, on that point that it's difficult, like Prabhupada said, spiritual life is difficult, but material life is impossible. So, given the choice, it better just stay with spiritual life. And it's difficult, but it's doable. And it does get easier in a way. But someone told me that an Indian man, he just came into my office in Juhu many years ago. It's just one of those, sometimes it happens, you meet people, they just say things, and you just know, oh, Krishna sent that person to say something to me. He came into my office, never saw him before. He was probably one of those, later on I learned, but at that time, I hadn't learned it, or maybe I wasn't thinking of it, but so many people would come to see me, and they would say that, you know, tell my secretary, only 2 minutes. So, okay, well, 2 minutes, what's 2 minutes? After a while, I learned that 2 minutes was just a way of getting in the door. They had no intention of sticking to 2 minutes or 5 or 10 or any number. But anyway, he was one of those ones. Just 2 minutes. Just want to see Swamiji. And anyway, we got to talking, and just, you know, within no time at all, he just suddenly says that the higher you go in devotional service, the swifter, and if you do something wrong, the swifter the reactions come, and the heavier they are. And that is, that's the Lord's mercy. That's the Lord's mercy. When you make advancement, you're even a subtle fault becomes magnified. In fact, we'll probably discuss tomorrow in relation to Madhavendra Puri. He's a completely pure devotee. He visited the temple of Gopinath, who was offered sweet rice. And he just had a thought that he would like to taste that sweet rice just so he could know how to prepare sweet rice for his deity. And just having that thought, he condemned himself so severely that, oh, I'm so lusty, I'm so greedy, I'm thinking of enjoying the Lord's. It was offered. You know, he condemned them, so he just left the temple and went to the marketplace. He was just so upset with himself. So, it's like that. Our godbrother, His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, has given courses on the demons of Vrindavan. Very interesting courses. And the idea is that all of the main demons in Vrindavan correspond to specific anarthas in our hearts. Like the first, Putana, she corresponds, well, that's a little different. Corresponds to the false guru because she posed as like a motherly figure for Krishna, but actually she wanted to poison him. But anyway, so Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained how the different demons correspond to different anarthas, and how just by reading or hearing about Krishna's killing of these demons, the corresponding anartha in the heart becomes destroyed. You don't even have to be conscious of it. You don't have to know this demon corresponds to this anartha. It happens automatically. So hearing about Krishna killing the demons is very purifying. And Prabhupada always said, you know, we shouldn't be like those people. They just want to read about Krishna and the gopis. They don't want to read about Krishna killing the demons. We want to hear about everything about Krishna. And hearing about Krishna killing the demons has the natural effect of destroying the anarthas in our hearts and the specific anartha connected with that particular demon from Vrindavan. And another thing, as an introductory lecture, Bhakti Chaitanya Swami spoke about, he calls it the anatomy of the cloud of anartha, based on Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's discussion in Madhurya Kadambini. And different it's very interesting. He discusses causes of different types of anarthas. Some are caused by previous sinful activities. Some are caused by previous pious activities. And some are caused by mistakes committed while performing devotional service. And then again, different types of anarthas are traced to different types of origins, and different ones are prominent at different stages of advancement. And so this was very encouraging because, say, within that broad category of anartha nivritti, there's different stages. There's like beginning stage of anartha nivritti, intermediate stage, and more advanced stage. So we might think, I've been stuck in anartha nivritti for like years. I've been stuck for decades. You know, I'm not making any advancement. But actually, within that, you might be making advancement. Like in the very beginning, you might be struggling with very gross anarthas, like, giving up eating meat or giving up taking intoxicants, giving up illicit sex, something very gross. Then after some time, okay, you've overcome those. Those aren't issues anymore. But then there are more subtle anarthas, like, Vishnathavarti Thakur gives you becoming angry, losing your temper. So that's not like on the level of, eating meat or taking intoxicants or having illicit sex, but it is an anartha. So in the earlier stage of anartha nivritti, you're struggling with grosser anarthas, and as you progress, you deal with more subtle anarthas. They're still anarthas, but they're more subtle. So that's sort of encouraging. Well, yeah, I'm still in anartha nivritti, but at least I'm in a more advanced stage of anartha nivritti. I'm dealing with more subtle anarthas, not the grosser ones. So we keep doing that. We keep doing that, and if we're following properly, we'll see that we have made progress. We'll see that we've made progress. But that issue of forgiveness, that's one of the subtle ones. But we do have to come to that stage. We do have to come to that stage of forgiveness and actually thinking of the welfare of others and working for the welfare of others. When I was in high school, I think it was high, or maybe college, yeah, must have been college, a professor told me about an experiment done with high school students where each student was asked to select the student within the class who the first student disliked the most. And then, for 1 month, they were supposed to be very nice to the person they disliked. And then at the end of the month, every one of those students who had been nice to the person they disliked now liked the person who they disliked. Now, we usually think, if someone's nice to me, I'll like them. But this experiment showed that if you're nice to someone, you like them. So if we have that mood of service to the other devotees, we'll like them. And then it'll be easier to serve them. And it's just mutually encouraging and uplifting. Yeah, I mean, it's like sometimes people feel lonely, like, you know, nobody loves me. I'm all alone, nobody loves me. But if you reach out to someone else, you know, show that you care for them, you love them, then you will feel loved. It's like somehow in our conditioning, we have the wrong idea that by acting in a selfish way, we'll get things for ourselves. But it's the opposite. That if we act as selfless servants, then we get what we want even without trying, separately. So it takes time because we come in the material world. We're envious of Krishna. We want to take his place. We want to be the master. So it takes time to develop the mood of service. But if we do it, you know, even if we don't exactly feel like it, if we do it, act like it, then the feeling will come. Like Vishnu Jani was like so famous for being enthusiastic, and all the devotees would always want to go out on Sankirtan with him. And he said, you know, I don't actually always feel enthusiastic. But when I act enthusiastic, and then I see how enthusiastic the other devotees become, then I feel enthusiastic. And once I asked His Holiness Radhanath Swami about humility, he's like so humble, such a humble servant of all the Vaishnavas and everyone. And he said, It was a matter of practice. You know, in the beginning he had to practice, you know, being the humble servant. But then after a while, it became natural. It becomes natural. So sadhana bhakti, devotional service and practice. So we practice. When I joined, I was told that Srila Prabhupada had said that if someone offers to do some service for you, you should refuse. But if anyone asks you to do any service for them, you should agree. So we may not have that mood within our hearts, but we practice. We practice. We control our minds with our intelligence, and we practice. And then it becomes more natural. I mean, some people, like Jayananda Prabhu, it seems to have been with him from the very beginning. I mean, it's hard to know what a person goes through internally, but for most of us, it's a matter of practice. And Srila Prabhupada said, practice makes perfect even in spiritual life. So, I thank you all for tolerating me. It's yeah, I mean, the mercy of the Vaishnavas is really everything. It's really everything. And we don't know how much a little thing that we might do for someone can help. You know, like Ganesh was leading the kirtan, and, you know, and he and his other fellow kirtaneers, and, you know, you just draw someone into the dancing, give someone a chance to lead. You don't know how much of a difference that could make to someone. Because devotees are very sensitive, and just a small gesture can make such a difference. And what's it to us? Like, when we were in the height of this struggle at Juhu, and we were struggling with Nair and Matre and the municipality and so many. But there are also tensions with the tenants. So one of the tenants complained to Srila Prabhupada about me, that when I would pass him on Hare Krishna land, I wouldn't say Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada, I wasn't there, but I heard later, Prabhupada commented about me, you know, what's it gonna cost him to say Hare Krishna? I was just, and I wanted to show him, you know, we don't approve of your politics, you know. But what was the point of that, you know? What's it going to cost him to chant Hare Krishna? And we found, even with the tenants, it was so ironic, even with the tenants, because eventually, you know, Prabhupada said either they should become devotees or leave, because Hare Krishna land is meant for devotees. And it was ironic, but the tenants that we had the best relations with, they were the easiest to deal with, and they were the first to leave. And the ones that we had the worst relationships with, like a cold war with, they dug in more strongly. You know, they were like more entrenched. We're not leaving. You know, even though we hate Krishna consciousness, we hate the devotees, we are not leaving. Well, anyway. So so we saw that the ones that we were the nicest to and were the nicest to us, they were also the easiest to deal with, and they left the most easily. So as they say, I don't know if it's true, but I'll repeat it. It takes more muscles to frown than to smile, you know. So why not smile? Why not be nice? Why not say Hare Krishna to greet people? And we'll like them more, and they'll like us more, and we'll all love Krishna more together. And then people will be attracted to our association. They'll see what nice relationships we have, unlike in the material world. And then they will also join, and Lord Chaitanya's family, Srila Prabhupada's family, will expand as a one big happy family. Hare Krishna. So, I guess we could take a few minutes for questions. Yes. What is your name? Oh, Bhakta Stephen. I've been seeing you becoming more and more clean shaven over the weeks. I didn't even recognize you. Congratulations. Well, there's time, place, and circumstance. You know, like if someone's clothes are on fire, Hare Krishna Prabhu, that wouldn't be so appropriate. You know, it might be more appropriate to smother the fire in blankets or douse it with water. But I would say that it would be appropriate in general, you know, to fold your hands in respect and acknowledge the person, you know, at least with your eyes and your gestures and with Hare Krishna. Yes.
Demon corresponding to like anger, like what is the rakshas corresponding to anger? Like you said, correspond.
Oh yes. Well, you know, I must admit, I'm listening to the tapes of the class, and I haven't gotten that far. But when I do, I will let you know. But if you read the whole Krishna book, it'll be included.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your very thoughtful and compassionate delivering the message of Krishna Katha. Looking at the first line of the verse, Swastyastu Viswasya Kala Prasidatam, that let there be auspiciousness in the whole universe, our Krishna consciousness movement is set up in such a way that all of us, we go and bring people. We have that desire that to fulfill the desire of the previous acharyas, bringing people. And yet, at the same time, it becomes so difficult once you have them, once they come, because of the different anarthas, so many anarthas, to accommodate or help them to progress in Krishna consciousness. So I was just also seeing that sometimes we highlight certain qualities like Jayananda Prabhu, very compassionate, very tolerant, and even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, in going out of his way to do something that appears to be radical. So for someone or some of us that are not at that level of being compassionate or tolerant, and yet we have this duty to help these conditioned souls, and if I sometimes, instead of being that much, I pull out another code that says no lazies and no crazies, and then we just like these people, you know, goes away. Was that my lack of Krishna consciousness, my lack of compassion? I just want you to harmonize that and see, and your advice, how can we help? Because of course, I would say too, that we don't want to compromise. Someone who's breaking the principles is different in another category. But just someone who is like, maybe a little bit neglectful, a little bit independent, and because I couldn't give out of myself so much to help that person.
No, you have to be tolerant. I mean, there's a matter of discretion. There's always a matter of discretion. But in the beginning, you have to be tolerant, I would say, and give them a chance. Give them... You know, we should try not to act on the basis of false ego. You know, I would say as a rule, in the beginning, be tolerant. But it might be better not to bring them too close too soon. That might not have a good effect. So it might be better if they're at a little distance, but gradually coming closer than coming too close too soon. And then, yeah. Anyway, it's a big topic. But we'll continue tomorrow. Hare Krishna.